The budget plan DOD will announce early next month will violate the $523 billion cap under sequestration for 2016. But even at that higher level, the five-year budget won't have enough room for excess bases or the current complement of aircraft. So Deborah Lee James, the Air Force Secretary, says they'll give the proposals another go.
We are going to be asking the Congress, of course, to eliminate sequestration. We will renew that call, as well as to allow us to get rid of excess base infrastructure. We'll be renewing that as well. And we will once again ask for the authority to divest some of our older aircraft in order to free up money to plow back into people, readiness, and modernization. Keeping in mind, as we've said many, many times, if sequestration does return in FY16, it will have very, very serious and devastating effects on some parts of our Air Force.
On the topic of excess infrastructure, the Air Force thinks it's in worse shape than the other military services. Its most recent analysis, conducted in 2004, estimated it had 24% more capacity than it was using, and the Air Force has shrunk significantly in the intervening decade to the smallest size in its history. While the Navy and Marine Corps believe their basing infrastructure is more in line with their current force structure, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby confirmed last week that another round of base closures remains a high priority for DOD as a whole.
As the Secretary has made clear, we want to work with Congress to effect another round of BRAC. We know this is not an easy thing for the Congress to take up and to deal with. We know these are not easy decisions to make. The Secretary wants very much to work with the Congress as we move forward to try to get another round of BRAC. It really is necessary. It really is necessary, and it's time. It's overdue, actually.
Members of Congress who oppose another BRAC round frequently peg their opposition to the argument that DOD should first look to close bases overseas before Congress makes decisions that could have domestic economic impacts. But it's possible that those arguments will be undercut by last week's announcement that DOD will close 15 facilities in Europe, saving an estimated $500 million per year. The Air Force was particularly affected by those European reductions. The largest closure announced was the Royal Airfield at Mildenhall in the UK. General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says the decision was based both on cost and the military value of each installation, a similar calculus to what would be used in a domestic BRAC.
Infrastructure consolidations in Europe are just that, consolidations. It's not giving up mission capability. There was an opportunity to actually save money over time in a fairly significant way by consolidating installations in the UK, for example. So that was just a consolidation of capability. It will be much more efficient over time and will pay for itself in a pretty expeditious way. Mildenhall is a base closure because the cost of updating Mildenhall over time with very old infrastructure that hasn't been maintained well over the last 30 or 40 years is excessive compared to the combat capability we get from the operations that go on the base. And we have other installations where that can be bedded down at much less operating costs over time. We can save the recapitalization costs of rebuilding the infrastructure. The good news is that our partners in the UK have done a lot of downsizing and soul searching on how they're going to operate under a lower top line themselves for the last 10 years in the defense business. And we're very supportive in this, although neither one of us really likes giving things like this up. Mildenhall has been a great, great installation for the Air Force for a long time and remains that way today. But this is all about cost savings and efficiency.
The "we still want it, but we can't afford it" formulation is the same basic framing the Air Force puts around its insistence that it needs to divest itself of some of its legacy aircraft. Welsh and James did not specify exactly which airframes they'll propose for retirement in the 2016 budget, but it's widely assumed that the A-10 attack aircraft will be on the short list. And Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, confirmed that DOD's position on the A-10 has not changed since last year. But that position is very likely to be challenged by A-10 defenders during DOD's posture hearings after the budget rollout, since the aircraft is being used right now in the current fight against ISIS. That plane is responsible for just over 1 out of 10 of the airstrikes that have happened over the last several months in Iraq and Syria. While Congress prohibited the Air Force from retiring the A-10 outright in last month's budget votes, it also found enough money to keep them operating without robbing the service's military readiness accounts. Welsh and James say they're grateful for that. But Welsh says in the long run, keeping the A-10 in the air is unsustainable, despite the emotions surrounding the Air Force's proposals.
It's an emotional issue inside the Air Force, too. I would be disappointed if the people who flew the A-10, if the people who train with the A-10 weren't emotional about this. They love their airplane. They should love their airplane. I would expect that. For the Air Force, it's not an emotional issue. It's a sequestration-driven decision. We don't have enough money last year or this coming year to fund all the things that we currently have in our force structure. The good news is last year, although we weren't allowed to move forward with the plan we recommended, we were funded to continue operating the A-10. And if we have a conflict that we can use it inappropriately, we should absolutely use it. It's been intended to be around until 2019, or even under our initial recommendation, and our intent would have been to use that great platform and the great people who employ it anywhere we could. It's not about not liking or not wanting the A-10. It's about some very tough decisions that we have to make to recapitalize an Air Force for the threat 10 years from now.
The Air Force favors eliminating entire fleets of aircraft rather than simply slicing back the overall size of each type in its inventory, because divesting an entire platform also eliminates the logistics infrastructure that goes along with it. And while the A-10 is among the Air Force's cheapest jets in terms of operational costs, keeping it alive means retaining a trained force of maintenance personnel to attend to it. Officials say that fact is especially important as the Air Force starts to bring the F-35 into its inventory. The service plans to declare initial operating capability on the Joint Strike Fighter by the end of next year, but that new aircraft will also need maintainers of its own. And Welsh says they'll have to come from somewhere in the service's workforce.
We are now to the second set of solutions beyond what we thought was the best military approach, because we haven't been allowed to take that. We don't have 1,000 extra maintenance people waiting for a job. They're doing other work. We have to get them into a new platform by taking them out of something else. It's the only way to develop them, or hire contractors, or delay IOC. Those are the three, and there's some combination of those things that have to happen. We don't want, like, the option of delaying IOC.
Last year's Air Force proposals to close bases and retire aircraft were met with immediate resistance on Capitol Hill, so much that the votes that flatly rejected them last month were almost a foregone conclusion. But James says in a new Congress, from the Air Force's perspective, there's reason for renewed hope.
There's new members of Congress. We have to educate. We have to continue to explain the position about why we need to not only invest in today, but also invest in tomorrow. If we had a lot more money, we could do it all. But, of course, we're not going to have a lot more money. So we have to make choices, and that's what we're paid to do. We're paid to make some tough choices in this environment. And so we will explain that story to the members who we have known for some time, as well as to the new ones.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.